Hello, this is episode number 41 of Jock Radio, where medical experts from Children's Hospital of Orange County share their knowledge about keeping kids healthy and safe. In this episode, we are talking with Jessica Brown, a clinical dietitian, and Lee Volker, a clinical social worker, about picky eaters. Jessica and Lee, welcome to Seacrest Studios.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
So Jessica, to get us started, tell us about picky eating. Is it normal for kids to be particular about the food that they eat?
Yes, it is normal for children to present with picky eating, although there is no established definition for picky eating. Oftentimes, children that do present with this issue, it is mild and it will go away on its own. It's normal for toddlers to have what's called neophobia, or the fear of new foods. This usually presents around 12 months of age and peaks around 18 to 24 months of age. Studies do show that picky eaters have normal growth and development, normal energy levels, and it's not really a nutritional concern. However, the concern is with the parent-child dynamic between eating. Concerns should be raised if a child presents with feeding difficulties, such as prolonged mealtime duration lasting longer than an hour, if they have anticipatory gagging when food is present, if they require distraction, such as an iPad, to intake food, or if they have failure to advance textures. So these are all red flags that parents should be concerned with. And oftentimes, parents are told that the feeding problem will go away. However, this usually is not the case, and they'll have to seek professional help to resolve these issues.
So what are some ways that parents can make sure their child is meeting their nutritional needs?
We often hear about sneaking healthy foods into kid-friendly foods into their diet. In fact, there's multiple cookbooks on this issue. Although this may improve the nutritional quality of the child's diet, it's not a long-term solution to increasing their food repertoire. Studies show that children actually may need repeated exposure up to 10 to 15 times of a new food without the pressure of accepting that food. Another strategy families can use, children respond really well to social modeling. So if a parent wants their child to eat healthful foods, such as whole grains, fruits, and vegetables, they should also include that into their diet. Another strategy parents can use is something I like to call foundational foods, and this is concentrating on foods that are really nutrient dense. So these would include a fortified dairy or dairy substitute such as milk, yogurt, a dairy substitute such as almond milk or hemp milk, choosing whole grains or fortified grain products such as crackers, breakfast cereals, breads and pasta, choosing healthy fats such as nut butters, plant oils, as well as margarine-like spreads, and then concentrating on green vegetables such as broccoli or kale.
What about vitamins? Do you recommend supplements for picky eaters?
National surveys of what children actually eat demonstrate that they actually meet or exceed nutrients for most recommendations of most nutrients. With that said, a multivitamin should be recommended for those that have very limited food that are very selective. So maybe they're restricting to about 10 to 15 foods, or they're eliminating one or more food groups. A complete chewable multivitamin is better than a gummy multivitamin. It will provide a better nutrient profile for the child. And although some of these vitamins are very similar to candy, families should treat them just like medicine and keep them out of reach of children. It is important to mention here that supplements aren't regulated by the Food and Drug Administration before entering the marketplace. Therefore, parents should look for supplements certified by independent organizations and look for certifications such as NSF or USP. So these independent organizations will look for what's in the product, how much is in the product, and the purity of the product.
Now, Lee, I know some parents feel like mealtimes are a battle zone. That's your expertise. So can you tell us some ways that parents can help improve their child's behavior?
Yes, I think that's a common area of struggle for many parents, especially with toddlers, because toddlers are very active in all realms of life. And then with eating, it's even worse because you're trying to get them to do something that they don't necessarily want to do. So I think one of the best things to do is have them on a meal schedule. We call it consolidating meal times, meaning that they have a breakfast, a snack, a lunch, a snack, and a dinner. And those are the consistent every day. Kids tend to thrive on a routine. And it also creates a hunger and satiety cycle for them so that when they, you know, come to the table, they're motivated to participate. And then they know when the meal time is over. This also helps with the power and control issue that some toddlers have, where they want to not do something when their parent asks them to do it. And then 10 minutes later, when the mealtime's over, they're asking for food. And so if they learn that the parent is in control of the mealtime and that they can only have food at the offered mealtimes, they're more likely to participate when they're asked to. Another important thing is to have the children sitting at the table or have an identified place where the meals take place. You know, whether it's a high chair or a booster seat at the table and everyone comes together, then they know that that's the place for eating and that when they're done there, then they're done with the mealtime. Sometimes it seems easier to follow a child around and try to get them to eat or just let them graze with, you know, a bowl of snacks at the table throughout the day. But we've found that they don't actually eat as much when they're presented with food this way, as opposed to just sitting at the table time, at table and eating. We have a few strategies that we like to use. One is offering children choices. Behavioral refusal is a lot about control. And by offering a child a choice between two options, the caregiver can give the child the illusion of control while allowing them to choose between two acceptable options. Another thing that's a good strategy to use is extinction, which is kind of ignoring a negative behavior. So if a child is throwing food or screaming or pushing it away, instead of telling them, don't throw that or don't scream, just ignoring that behavior and redirecting them towards what they need to do is a good way to get them to stop doing that. Because if they're not getting the attention that they want, they're not going to be motivated to keep doing that behavior. Another thing, as Jessica mentioned, is social modeling. The idea of children are great imitators. And so if their sibling is doing something that's, you know, look at how Johnny's eating that pizza. Why don't you take your bite too? Or look at mommy eat this carrot. All those are great ways to get a child engaged because they like to do what other people are doing. So if you make a big deal about what you want them to do, then they're more likely to model and do the same thing. Another good strategy we call the Just Right Challenge. Kids like to be successful and they like to be praised when they are successful. And so if something is hard for them, the best way to do it is to give them a challenge that's just within their control and what they're able to do successfully. So if they're not wanting to eat a food at all, and then you ask them to take one bite and they take that one bite well, giving them a lot of praise for that and helping them feel successful with that will be motivating for them to do more in the future. So going step by step and having those little victories along the way does a lot to encourage both the child and the parent and give them success. And then over time, you can build on those successes. Then eventually you get to the goal that you want with them. And again, just praise. Most kids want to please and they want to work hard for positive reaction from people. So a lot of high five, good jobs, applause. Don't be afraid to get a little animated with them because they really respond well to that.
Some children have picky eating habits because of a medical condition. Is that right? I mean, what happens after the medical problem is resolved and they're still having trouble eating?
Yeah, so many kids have early experiences of reflux where it's uncomfortable for them to eat. They have pain or they're having a negative association with eating. Other children weren't given the opportunity to eat when they were young because they were either hospitalized or intubated or for some other reason weren't able to eat when they were first born. And so we get to this point where those medical issues have been resolved, but there's a conflict between the child and the parent around eating, or they're just not interested. Sometimes they feel averse to eating because they've had a lot of negative sensations in their mouth or other sensory experiences that aren't pleasurable to them. So using some of the strategies that I mentioned earlier can be a good way to address some of those things. The goal initially is to help mealtime and interaction with food be positive for them. So allowing them to just interact with food, to play with it, to touch it, you know, to lick it, you know, having experiences that are positive with food prior to putting it in their mouth can be helpful. Sometimes, you know, working little by little on those different strategies is helpful to just get them that exposure and then they pick up their eating. Other children do need to be seen by a feeding therapist and to have more professional guidance on how to get through some of those aversions if they've become too ingrained or they just aren't able to move past it on their own. So asking your doctor for a referral to a feeding therapist is a great way to get some additional guidance on how to move them past those aversions.
Okay, so we know what to do if parents have a picky eater, but is there anything you can do to train your child to like certain foods right from the start? So any tricks you can share, Jessica, on that?
Sure. Some studies actually suggest that even as early as pregnancy and then later on into breastfeeding can influence the taste profile of the child. So what the mother is actually eating during these time periods can make a difference later on in life. Also, parental behavior and food preferences, as well as family style meals, will influence acceptance of food in children. And then early introduction or exposure of healthy foods like fruits and vegetables, once you start complementary foods at about 6 months of age, will help. And offering a wide variety of foods before the age of two are all strategies that parents can use.
Wonderful. That's so interesting. Thank you both for your expertise on this subject. Thank you for listening to episode number 41 of Chalk Radio. You just heard Jessica Brown, a clinical dietitian, and Lee Volker, a clinical social worker, discuss kids and picky eating. Stay tuned for more episodes and health topics from Chalk Radio. Visit chalk.org for more information or follow Children's Hospital of Orange County on social media. We are at Chalk Children's on Instagram and Twitter, and we are at facebook.com/chalkchildrens. Lee and Jessica, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.